Your business is one of a kind, so your website should be too. With Wix, it's easy, almost too easy, to create a website that's perfectly yours. Just tell AI what kind of site you want to build or choose from thousands of templates. Change whatever you want, whenever you want, and get everything you need to start running your business your way. No matter what you sell or what you aspire to be, you can do it all yourself on Wix.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
So you can relax, that's the name of our podcast.
Hello, welcome to Relax the Podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Ballinger, here with the star of the show, the main host.
Subbing in for Rachel Ballinger this week.
Yeah, right. Carrot Eric Stockland is here.
That's me.
Back in the pod.
Back in
back
action.
Back in the pods. Oh, that makes me want to watch Love is Blind.
Back in the pods. Oh, because they're in pods when they are...
That's what they're called, the pods.
When they're wooing each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special guest this episode.
We do.
Who? Two, actually.
Who?
These flies.
Oh, they're driving me crazy, man.
I know it's going to drive you crazy. Here's the thing. There was one giant one, mm-hmm. and I was chasing it around in here. Mm-hmm. Killed it.
Good. Well, not
sorry.
Good. Sorry, that's mean. We should have let it outside,
I tried to get it outside. And then I was like, phew, got it. And then I realized two more.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. If you hear me, if you hear a random...
If Colleen seems distracted...
Insane scream.
It's because she loves bugs and watching them.
It's because a fly flew by my face. No, I don't know what it is about flies. It's this, like, bizarre, intense... Like, I cannot control the response I have to flies. Like, if it flies past my face, I scream like... Like, it's embarrassing.
But they're the worst bug.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think probably bugs that carry, like, horrible diseases that could, like...
Like flies?
Do you know there's a mosquito out right now that people are talking about that's like...
I don't know any mosquito news,
horribleness that if it...
Yeah, mosquitoes are pretty bad. They kill a lot of people.
I think mosquitoes might be the worst bug.
Yeah, but flies, I mean, they're always on poop, right?
Here we go, talking about poop
and then
again
they're like,
every episode.
Then they're like, if they have all of your stuff, I don't know. I feel like they're a germy... They're not fun.
Yeah, I think all bugs are kind of germy.
I don't think there's any fly activists out there.
There might be.
Do you think they serve a purpose in
flies?
Yeah.
Of course. I think they serve a purpose in like the ecosystem or whatever,
right.
But I don't know what it is.
Me neither.
So.
Didn't do any research on.
I did not do any research on flies.
On our special guest.
There are two flies flying around. And if I randomly go like, and make
one
bizarre noises,
loud,
it's because
too.
That's what pisses me off.
The sound?
The sound mixed with, it's a combination of the sound with it flying past your face.
Yeah.
Like I think it scares me when it flies in front of my face and then it like, not because I think it's going to do something to me, but it's just like, it's startling. I think that's a better word for it.
No, on the West Coast here, I've certainly less bugs than the East Coast where I grew up.
Yes. So, wait, certainly less than the East Coast? Is that what you said?
Yeah, more bugs on the East Coast.
Yes.
As far as in my personal experience.
Yes, and mine too.
From what I know to be true. Now, but as a kid, I can remember many, many times getting bugs in my ears. Has this ever happened to you?
Love. No, but there's an episode of Survivor.
Oh, this is not that.
Okay.
This is like a gnat. You know what a gnat is?
Of course I know what a gnat is.
So this would happen like every summer. We would end up like some sort of like little fly or gnat would like get in your ear and be stuck there. And you would hear it.
Nope. No.
Hear it buzzing.
How long did this last? I wouldn't choose
agonizing.
Life.
And so what my mom would do is what you do is you lay with your bug ear up and then she would pour... hydrogen peroxide in our ears. So the bug would like bubble to the top.
I'm going to vomit. I would not be alive.
Now
let me
let me tell you, the bug in your ear, like maddening, right?
Yeah.
The feeling of the hydrogen peroxide lifting, like the bubbles tickling the bug out of your ear. And then the relief of the bug now being out of your ear. Magic.
I believe that.
Like it scratched. Like it honestly was like a pleasing memory.
That's horrific. Have you seen the episode of Survivor where that girl gets a bug in her ear and she literally, I think she left or almost left because
it
was like
to me.
That maddening to her. But she's
it's like your biggest fear.
She's like sobbing.
Yeah.
like I would go home immediately. I'd be like, well, I mean, I'd go home immediately for a million reasons if I was ever a survivor, but like there's not a chance. If that happened to me for a split second, I'd be hysterical.
Yeah. You've shown me that episode a long time ago, that's probably why you forget, but like you have, and like, I remember it being horrific.
My gosh, it's trauma. That is so scary. I can't believe that happens for real.
Yeah.
How long would it be second year before your mom would do hydrogen peroxide?
I mean, I feel like I would complain really quick, you know, kids.
Yeah.
They get pretty upset about things like that.
So it wasn't longer than 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, sometimes it would like take longer or whatever, but yeah. But I can remember this happening many times. Mm-mm. I don't know. I feel like I would do well on like those, you know, I love camping. I've, you know, experienced in that. I would do well on one of those like kind of survivor-esque kind of shows. But like what I don't think I could handle is, and you see this on like Naked and Afraid a lot, mostly I think because their butts are out, mm-hmm. but how many bug bites they get?
Oh yeah, I couldn't do that.
Like I would tap from bug bites, I think.
Which is funny because you are like the biggest conspiracy theorist when it comes to me getting bug bites, because there's different types of blood, like different blood types attract more bugs than others.
Yeah, we've gone over. Yeah.
And I get bit like bananas, like bugs. Yeah,
I never knew that until you like researched that for this podcast. Many episodes.
But every time I say like there's bugs and I'm going to get eaten by bugs, Eric's like, no, there's not.
Well, I
gaslight me.
I get bitten by bugs, not the frequency that you do, but it also bothers me less.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it doesn't itch as bad on you.
Well, I mean, it's itchy, sure, but I'm not as frazzled by it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, who needs to relax for you this week, love?
A few things.
Okay.
The first one I'm going to talk about is overalls.
Okay.
As a garment.
Whoa. You're not going to be hating on overalls in my presence, are you?
I am.
That's so sad.
Because I see you wear, I wouldn't call them overalls though. I'd call
rompers.
Rompers, but a romper is essentially an overall, in my opinion. It's like a more stretchy, more loose kind of, I mean, it's an overall. Overall? Overall.
I don't know about that, but okay. When I think overalls, I think like the denim with or like some sort of thicker material with like the strap goes over the shoulder and buckles. Like there's like a buckle or a button mechanism to keep it on,
I guess.
But anyway,
but the premise is the same.
Okay, sure.
We went to a birthday party this weekend and I was hanging out with Flynn and he wanted to put on party clothes and we went to his drawer and he picked out overalls and like a Hawaiian shirt. And I was like, thought it'd be fun to match him. And so I own an adult pair of overalls from something I filmed and many Hawaiian shirts. Mm-hmm. And so I put that on and was instantly transformed into a big old toddler. And I didn't feel, and I felt so uncomfortable.
Really?
I was very uncomfortable.
Hmm. Were they too small?
They weren't too small. No, but just the way that they like shifted when I walked and just the feeling of them strapped in. And I couldn't understand what the purpose of this was. And so I Googled overalls, you know, invented in the 1700s, 1800s, whatever, patented by Levi Strauss. And it was essentially a blue collar workers thing for like protection and storage or, you know, whatever. But like, when do we start putting children in these? Cause now I associate them with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you and your rompers, I guess. But it doesn't do anybody any good. It's not doing.
It does me a lot of good. Rompers. If you're throwing rompers in the mix.
To have your pants controlled by your shoulders, mm-hmm. I feel like is strange.
Well, can I please play devil's advocate here?
Please. That's what this space is for.
Like literally that's so much better than your pant. You're like for someone with no hips. Like as a person, no hips, I would say like having my hips in control of my pants is horrible.
Do you understand what you're saying?
You just said having your shoulders in control of your pants is horrible.
Yeah.
But like to me, it's much worse if my hips are in control because I don't have hips. So they just, you're always pulling your pants up. They're always falling down. You have to keep pulling them up. I see you pull your pants up all the time.
What's your stance on belts?
Garbage. Don't like them.
When was the last time you wore a belt?
When I was trying to like look fashionable. A long time ago.
So belts for you is fashion.
It's supposed
over
to be fashion thing. Yeah, it doesn't. No,
I don't have a function belt.
No, 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 no.
What's your stance on suspenders?
Too much work. There's like a lot of clips happening.
Suspenders essentially make pants overalls.
No, they don't. Because suspenders, first of all, there's multiple clips that you have to do,
uh-huh.
And then also the suspenders, because the overall straps are like closer to like your chest and your back, they don't fall off your shoulder as much as like a suspender strap. There's such a long strap that like they fall off your, they can fall off your shoulders a lot easier and a lot more often. And they're elastic, so they're tight on you because of the reason they could fall off. So they're tighter, which is uncomfortable. I like, and I never said I like wearing overalls, like jean overalls. I don't wear jean overalls. I have a couple of like shorts, jean overalls that you bought for me, I think.
Yeah, you don't really.
But I, that material is like stiff. It's not cozy. Like I like rompers
because your shoulders
cozy.
Are controlled. Like it like shifts on the waist or I don't know. It's real.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm telling you, rompers are not the same. That is a different, it's like wearing a bed sheet. It's incredible. A cozy, soft blanket. You don't feel like you're wearing clothes. It's absolutely amazing.
I'm going to do something here. A little unusual.
What?
I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to see.
That is unusual.
Men's romper.
Oh, I don't think they have that.
Let's see here. Well, they got some. Yeah.
Do they have rompers for men?
They have, there's like jumpsuits.
Let me see this. I don't believe you. Oh, no. Yeah, no, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing, right?
It's kind of a thing. Like, I think I have a couple of friends who wear those.
You've seen people wear those?
I think I have a couple of friends who've worn rompers, guy friends.
Were they waiters on yachts?
What?
It looks like something like a steward on a yacht would wear.
No, but I mean, they're cute, but I could never see you wearing one. I could never see you wearing one.
Oh, no.
And this isn't the kind of, this essentially is an overall, like this isn't a romper. A romper is like the cozy, loose, flowy.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have that. It doesn't
exist.
Like. Yeah.
Well, who's to say that one of yours wouldn't fit on me? It's a big stretchy fabric.
Okay. I mean, sure.
Well, I just want to see what all the fuss is about.
Okay. Well,
if you're
then
saying it's not,
let me get you a super like extra, extra large one or something in women's and you can try it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Next episode, you're wearing a romper. Got it?
Yeah, and we'll be at Sonic. We'll be at Sonic.
Know.
I'll be wearing a romper.
Every week, I'm like,
it won't
dang
be your
it,
sister.
We didn't do it again.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I'm sorry, guys. We really do want to go to Sonic.
We do.
We literally have to take like a day off and of work and children and everything to go make it happen and just sit in a car all day just to eat fast food. I don't know.
The first time.
Yes, it absolutely would be the first time we would do that for fast food.
But you don't own any denim overalls, so
I have a couple pair of short ones, not long ones.
Right. Well, yeah. It wasn't a pleasant fashion experience.
Well,
for
can
me.
I tell you something?
Sure.
There was a moment where you were playing with Flynn at this birthday party, and I was watching from afar, like a creeper just staring at you. But I was like, he looks so cute right now. I thought you looked so cute. I thought you looked fashionable. You didn't look like, you said you felt like a little toddler. You didn't look like a little toddler. You looked like a cool hipster, like fashionable dude. And your muscles were all big, all your freaking Hawaiian shirt. And you just look so like cool and trendy. I like literally looked at you and I was like, oh my God, he's so cute right now. You look so handsome. I was like, I thought you looked so good. But I think that every day, all the time.
Well, Flynn was super excited that we were matching. He called us. He says their babies are twins and now me and him are twins.
Aww.
But one's big and one's little. Yeah.
You and Flynn have had some pretty incredible bonding, core memory things happening the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Eric and Flynn have been just literally doing the most magical, like things that are like once in a lifetime experiences for most people. They've been doing almost daily. I feel like you guys have been having these magical, incredible things. And
well, that's all inspired by him and his interests and like,
yeah,
being so fun for me too.
Yeah. Flynn is, as we all know by now, very obsessed with sea creatures. And so he loves the ocean and trying to find sea creatures and learning about them. And so Eric and Flynn have, what do you guys call yourselves?
The sea creature rescuers?
The sea creature rescuers. And they go to the beach and they find, you know, when I go, we go during low tide. But Eric and Flynn will go and like kind of fish, but not fish. It's like you have like a hoop net thingy that you use.
Yeah. So one of my fondest memories as a child was we would drive from New Jersey and then Connecticut down to Ocean City, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a back bay and it's famous for blue crabs. And one of my favorite things to do with my siblings and my dad was we would go crabbing with like this, essentially it's a metal box. And like when you put it down, like the thing, or we just throw a string in and we would put like hot dogs on it or like raw bacon or anything. And we would catch all these crabs and it was so, so fun to me. And with Flynn, he loves these things. He has such an interest in them that it's all, first of all, it's all like catch and release. It's just like to kind of experience and have an appreciation for and like see these things up close. But where we live, you're legally allowed to have this thing called a, like a hoop net trap, which is essentially like a hula hoop with like netting, and you put it down and then you pull it back up, you mm-hmm. know, and maybe something crawled onto your net. And we've been like just having so much fun saying hello
to so many different some, creatures.
Like, cool, very cool sea creatures. I mean, I don't know. I didn't grow up in California. We didn't, like I said, we had blue crab and jellyfish. That was it. But like here, there's like all kinds of cool stuff that we.
I grew up in Southern California and I've never seen the sea creatures that you guys have caught. And it's cool having a little sun encyclopedia. Yeah, sun encyclopedia.
Yeah. Trademark that.
He knows it. So you guys will pull something up or like I'll be at the tide pools with him and we'll find something and he knows what they are.
Yeah.
He knows what everything is and he gets so excited and it's so cool.
That's
and
great.
Eric bought this little like camera that goes
on TikTok.
On TikTok.
Are you proud of me?
I'm so proud of you because it created literally one of the most magical things that's ever happened. They threw this thing down at the bottom of the ocean thinking like they'd see a fish down there or something.
It's like an underwater camera with a monitor. Mm-hmm. So it's like a cord connected to this camera that can go underwater with like a floaty ball on top. So whenever it lands at the bottom, it's always upright.
Mm-hmm.
And then it connects to a monitor, but it's like a 90-foot cord.
Yeah, so they used it and an octopus came and was like playing with the camera.
It was amazing.
And Eric was filming with his phone because he was so excited they found an octopus. He wanted to like remember it. And it's like the most magical footage. When I wanted to edit it so I could save it forever, show it to Eric, show it to Flynn, share it on one of my vlogs. And I was weeping. It was so magical. The sound of your laughter and joy and the look of his face, the joy was like, it was the most beautiful. I'm going to cry again, shocker, but like, it was the most beautiful thing I think I've ever, it was so amazing.
It was an emotional experience.
Well, and
those
I
are amazing little creatures. And it's like been his favorite. And I didn't know they were right under us this whole time.
And I thought like, well, obviously I love Eric and Flynn. So that's why this is so emotional and special to me. But when I put it in the vlog, so many people were commenting like, that made me cry. That was the most magical thing I've ever seen. Like that was such an incredible moment. Like it was so cool. So that's pretty awesome that you've been creating so many wonderful, cool core memories with Flinny.
Oh, it's been just as fun for me. Yeah. You know, it's selfishly, it's just me, but like, I want him to have, good core memories.
Can I tell you what I think needs to relax really quickly?
Sure.
It's a short one and I'm sure I've done it. But it was bothering me the other day. The spelling of baloney just really upsets me. Upsets me.
Why?
Are you joking?
You've never said this before to me.
I feel like I've said it somewhere. Spell
How do you
bologna.
Feel about the spelling of other?
Spell baloney.
B-O-L-O. It's hard to do this without like actually doing it.
Yeah, think about it.
I don't know.
How do you spell it?
Bologna. There's like a G-N-A. G-N-A.
Why is that there?
Baloney.
And it's spelled,
well, it's probably because we're saying it like dumb Americans. And it's like probably comes from, you know.
Bologna.
Is it Italian? You know what I mean? We're saying it, Bologna. We're like saying it wrong.
I can look it up, but I don't like it really
anything,
upsets
anything
me.
Anything like, you know, Bologna is going to sound bad.
Bologna. It's the capital of the largest Bologna. City of the Emilia Romagna region. I know I said that
wrong. And it's probably, and they probably
it's
say
Italy.
And
yes.
They probably say it like very pretty.
Yeah.
It's a romance language. When you put words from a romance language and you say them with our dumb accents, it's not going to sound good.
Well, okay. Oh yeah. In Italy, it's pronounced as Bologna. Okay. So that why do we say it so stupid?
America.
Why do we say bologna? That's so embarrassing.
Well, also like prosciutto. That's not how they say it.
How do they say it?
They say like prosciutto or something. They like, I think they leave off the O. I mean, that's just from watching The Sopranos.
Bologna? Where'd the E come? It's Bologna. Apparently. Why are we saying bologna? That sounds it's embarrassing.
I know.
That fly almost just decapitated me.
How do you say it? Name the salad, which is a slice of tomato and then mozzarella, and then basil.
Oh, this is annoying.
What's that salad?
Name that salad. We say caprese, but it's not. It's like caprese or something like
right.
that. I don't know.
And the cheese is what on that salad?
Mozzarella.
Thank you. Yeah. See? Just do an Italian accent when you talk about cold cuts, love, and it'll be great.
Oh my God. Well, I still don't like the spelling of it. I think if Americans are going to say it like that, they should spell it different because it bothers me so much. Bologna.
It's like a pet peeve.
I don't know. I think it bothers me. Okay. So that one I'm giving a pass to because it's not even really, it's an Italian word. It's not even an English word, but the English language
just in general
is pretty dumb. Like there's a lot of things that make no sense.
Mm.
Sure. Like read and read, same spelling.
What?
Like I read a book.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read a book. You'd spell it the same way. That's dumb.
Well, that's tense stuff, right?
But that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
That was like the hardest part for me of like learning Spanish was like, you know, all the tenses and stuff. Like I could never get over that. When I speak, I just ignore tenses because like it's too much.
I'm not good at any language.
Did you ever eat bologna at any point in your life?
I don't like bologna. No.
Bologna.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't know what made me think of that or why I was trying to spell it the other day.
I feel like it was a big part of my life.
Bologna?
And then I never had it again. Yeah. I think it was yes.
Huh.
I think it was like an affordable lunch meat when I was a child, and I can remember it because it came in it's a very specific package. It was like, you know, like a cylinder. It was like a circle.
Yeah, I know the one. Uh-huh.
And like you kind of pull up the square and then you pull out these thick slices.
Fascinating conversation we're having.
Are they still making bologna?
I don't know. I wouldn't buy it if they did.
I don't think they're still doing that.
What kind of
meat?
What animal is bologna?
Who's going up to like that butcher counter at a grocery store and being like, can I get a pound of bologna?
But
is somebody doing
it? I'm actually dead serious. I don't know what kind of meat bologna is.
It's pork.
It's pork?
Yeah, but it's like essentially a hot dog. It's like whatever pork, I think.
Huh, interesting.
But probably not in Italy. Probably in Italy, it's probably something like sweet.
Well, I wanted to say another special thing because it's as interesting as these conversations are about flies and bologna.
I know what else.
It's Eric's birthday for us tomorrow as we're recording this. His birthday's tomorrow. But when you guys hear this episode, it goes up Wednesday.
It's already belated.
So it will have been yesterday.
It's already belated.
But for us, it's tomorrow.
I had that on my list of things I need to relax.
So
I'm a big fan of my own birthday.
You know, a lot of people feel that way.
I feel a bit sad about it and stressed
about
it.
I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every
day.
Taylor
Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You have something in common with her.
I have a lot in common with her.
So, you get depressed on your birthday? It's just because you're getting older?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, it's age is relative, love, you know?
Okay.
yes. And I don't know. Yeah. I think there's a certain amount of like reflection, and mortality. And, I'm not someone who likes to be the focus of attention personally. Mm-hmm. So that's like a little bit stressful. Yeah, I don't know. It's fundamentally a little bit sad for some reason.
Hmm.
So I think some people are like, it's my birthday week and we're going out.
Oh, I was so that person.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I've planned this party for myself or whatever. I don't really.
In college, I was like, it's my birthday month.
Uh-huh.
I don't do that
it's
now,
my
obviously.
Birthday month.
Yeah. I was so excited all November. I used to love my birthday.
Yeah. I'm never like disappointed on my birthday, but I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, I guess, mm-hmm. obviously.
I'm so sorry, Lovey. My gosh. Well,
what were you going to say about it? You're just bringing it up?
I was going to say, since it's your birthday and this is your birthday episode.
You wrote a song for me?
Yeah, I wrote a song.
You wrote a song for Rachel?
Yeah, I wrote a song for you.
Okay.
Eric, it's your birthday. Eric, what do you say about being my husband? Is it fun? Is it cool? Is it everything you wanted in life?
Wait, it's about you?
Yeah.
It's a birthday song for me about yourself?
I'm a narcissist.
Okay.
Eric, it's your birthday. How special for me that it's your birthday, because I can eat cake every day, but just on your birthday. So I wrote that.
Woo!
No, what I was going to say is you get to talk about right now, this episode, anything you want. You can say anything you want, ask any question you want, talk about anything you want, do anything you want,
what?
Whatever you want, because it's your birthday episode. It's your special day that you
How's
hate
that
so much. Go.
I always kind of just say whatever I...
No, but like, I'm serious. Anything you want to say, anything
I had
you...
that, I was given that choice at the beginning of this episode. And,
and
I
your
chose
choice
to
was
shit
flies?
On overalls.
And overalls? What do you think, love?
I cannot, you're saying since it's my birthday, I can use this platform to talk about whatever I want?
Yeah, you're in charge.
I got nothing. I would say as a gift to me for my birthday, the onus off of me onto you, you're in charge.
Okay, fine. I'll be in charge because I do have something else I wanted to talk about with you. So I recently on a vlog reacted to you being on Vampire Diaries, which was your first job in LA, if I'm not mistaken.
It was my first job. It was my first like proper network TV job.
Yeah. So I reacted to that in a vlog, the few scenes that I could, you know, it was hard to do because it's like, how do I put it on? Anyway, that's not important.
I understand.
I reacted to you being in Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
And it was great. And it was so much fun.
Stevie the werewolf.
Yeah. And I loved it. It was so fun to do. And the people who watch my vlogs really liked it.
Okay.
And I got a comment about it. But who's the guy that you like stab or whatever in the neck? What's his name? Damon?
Ian
No, not his real name. The character name. Is it Damon?
Yeah.
Because I saw comments on that. I was reading my comments on my vlog the next day. And someone was like, oh my God, not Damon. And everyone's, I was like, who's Damon?
Yeah.
Is this an inside? Is this a meme or something? Why is everyone talking about Damon? And then I realized it was the person you'd stabbed in the.
Yeah, he's like a fan favorite.
Anyway, so I got this comment on my vlog. And sure. I thought I'd bring it up here on Relax. Riley said, okay, so Eric and Vampire Diaries? How have I never put this together? Can you talk about this experience on the podcast or something? So iconic. And he looks and sounds like Flynn so much in those clips.
Was it? Could it be because they straightened my hair?
Yeah, they didn't straighten your hair.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was, I mean, I had done like a couple commercials. I had done like kind of lower budget, like kind of internet kind of thing, you know, a thing that was on some channel that was like in school homerooms or something. And then yeah, that was my first like proper network TV job. It was and yeah, it was very exciting. I remember I wore glasses for the audition, and it was up on like the casting office was right off of Sunset Boulevard, like eight stories up, and you can see the Hollywood sign behind it. It was very surreal. I mean, you know, new to this whole thing, and it was kind of surreal. And I did it, and it with these two casting directors, and tons of people in the waiting room, so many people in the waiting room that people were waiting in the hallway outside or whatever. So I'm waiting forever. I go and I do it wearing these fake glasses at the time. And they're like, great, thank you. And they kind of like looked at each other, but they were like, yeah, great, thank you. You know, good job. And I was like, oh, good. And I felt, you know, pretty good about it. Walked out of the room, go to the elevators, push the elevator button to go down, waiting for the elevator. Ding, it opens. And then they come out of the room and they hear they say, Eric, wait, come back in. And they did it in front of all these other dudes like waiting out. And I was like, you guys can go home, going back in. So I went back in and they were like, can you actually do it without the glasses? Did it again. And they were like, okay, great job. Thanks. And I was like, that was kind of, you know what I mean? That was kind of felt kind of cool. And then I got a call that night that I was pinned or whatever. And then a call an hour later.
For those of you who don't know, pinned means that like they really
be
like
available
you.
It's, be yeah, available. You're one of two or three people.
Yeah. So there, you might get the job.
And then my phone started ringing and it was an Atlanta number. And it was a woman from the costume department asking for my sizes. And that was kind of how I found out I got it.
Really?
They were moving. Cause then I got a call from my manager and she was like, they're putting you on a flight tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really quick. It was the first time I flew first class. I flew to Atlanta. And it was like a red eye flight. And so I flew looking at the script, got the script. Was reading the script, didn't sleep. And when I landed, it was like morning or something there. And they took me from the airport straight to set for some reason to like meet everybody. I don't know why. And they all seemed nice. And then it was like this was around Christmas time. And so it was like the next day was their like Christmas party, which they invited me to. So it was so weird. I hadn't filmed anything yet. I'm complete. Like nobody knows who I am or whatever.
Why'd they put you on a red eye if it was like a Christmas party and you had days?
They wanted me to get there to, I don't know, for like a wardrobe fitting,
okay.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
And just to have me in town.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So it was like, I got there and then it was like their Christmas party the next day. And then I didn't film. And then I didn't film till like the day or two after it. And I remember it was like record cold. It's like the coldest it had ever been in Georgia. When I filmed that first scene that you see me in, it was literally like below zero. And they had like heat pads on our bodies.
Oh, the heat pads. Yeah. When it's cold outside, they give you these things to put in like your shoes, in your pockets, little like warming thingy-ma-boppers.
Yeah. Those things that like hand warmers, they had like big ones of those and they would put them like
on your chest.
Yeah. And people were wearing like, yeah, so many thermals and stuff like that.
My favorite story from that experience that you had, the Vampire Diaries one, is the beanie story. Can you tell the story about that beanie you wear in that first
scene? Yeah. So they straightened my hair. It was weird. But also like costume designer was like, what about a hat? And she gave me this thing called like it's a visor beanie. It's a beanie with a visor. It was like a ridiculous thing that I feel like was cool for like maybe a 2-year window in like the early 2000s for like snowboarders and stuff like that. I remember like owning one and then being like, well, this is too much. But she, for some reason, like she had that and she was like, it was this gray visor beanie. And she was like insisting that I wear it. And I was like, this is terrible. This is my first time on television. I'm not going out there in a visor beanie. And so it was the first scene. Yes, it was cold, but it was also like very early, first scene up of the day. So I was like in my trailer with all my stuff and I was just like, I'm just going to leave this. What can they do? I'm just going to leave this visor beanie here and just be like, oh, I don't know. Forgot it. You know what I mean? Or, oh,
And I go, said you delayed production.
No. So I go to set we read the scene and then we rehearse the scene and then we rehearse the scene with the crew. And then it's like, okay, we're about to do the first actual take. And I've been up on set for like 2 hours or whatever. And right before they said action, one of the wardrobe people around was like, oh, hey, God, I found you. You forgot your visor being in your trailer and put it on. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
So then
finally, I do that one scene where I have the Damon character tied up or whatever. And I go to the director. I'm like, can I do one scene without this dumb hat on? You know, I was like, we're inside now. Right. I don't have to. Can I not wear this hat for the scene? And he was like, yeah, you don't have to wear it for this scene.
Asked the director?
Yes, I know.
Oh, my gosh. You hated the hat that much.
I hated it that much. But I said it in a way where like, hey, we're inside now. I don't know that. My character would be wearing this.
Oh, you made like a character choice.
Yeah.
Like your character took it off.
Well, it was like also like one of the, it was like the coolest scene I thought I had. Cause it was like, it was with
the
him.
One he's the a torture great actor. One?
Yeah. And I just thought it was like, it was so bizarre.
Yeah. Like how weird to be like using this torture device, like trying to like, and be this really evil, cruel character with like a beanie hat.
Yeah. It was like a collar with, a beanie. With like spikes in it. Cause he's a vampire. So you can't like hurt him. So it's like wooden stake for a vampire, but a collar with spikes on the inside of it. They had all this like fake blood everywhere. And then I had two chains connected to the collar so I could pull it. It was pretty elaborate. And then I was immediately killed by some other character. With a punch in the face. I think there was like a possibility of me coming back. But there was like an issue with they were kind of writing it on set. Some of the writers and one of the executive producers. And they were like unsure if the entire werewolf storyline was going to continue.
Oh, interesting.
So it was like kind of, they
needed to kill you in a way that like you might not be dead.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
they left
just
kind of
either just
open-ended.
Give you a little smackety smack and you're down on the ground.
I know. It was real. I think they added like a neck crack sound in.
Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't hear that. Well, it was incredible. You did such a good job on it. Now I'm curious though. I have to ask. So Haters Back Off. Obviously, you weren't dressed to look like super trendy and cool, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe some would argue that.
Well,
you
I remember
were,
that. I remember that fitting very vividly too. I
don't.
Do you remember it?
I wasn't at your first fitting, was
you
I?
Were.
Oh,
you were. You don't remember?
Guess not.
Yeah, that was.
I remember getting pictures of you.
It's like, well, yeah. So you guys invited me up to Vancouver, and I remember meeting you at the production office and like hanging out. I think like we ate sushi or something.
Like they ordered sushi to the office, I think. I was sitting on the floor with like
a
bunch
all,
of people.
We were all chatting. And then the next day I had my first fitting. I can't remember her name. And then you and the director and your brother showed up to it midway through and she had picked the oddest.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
It was like she had thrifted just the weirdest stuff she could find and a lot of like animal shirts And I remember, and I can remember having a talk with you and the director saying it was a little bit derivative of Flight of the Conchords. Like mm-hmm. it just seemed like that was it was something that was so well established on that show that they always wear like mm-hmm. it's the Brett character always wear shirts with like, you know, mm-hmm. a wolf on it or something. That, and I remember you being like, well, what if it's like wizards or
magicians
magic? And magic.
Like-
so there were some things that I liked from it, but it was so silly. Like there was like an adult size like child's puffer jacket, I remember, and it was lots of like oversized pants, which are like cool now.
Was there anything though? My question was more like, was there a beanie for you and haters that you like left in the trailer? Like, oh, I hope they don't make me actually wear this. Did that happen?
No, never. I was like so into it. And I was so into like the world that you had created that I was like so game for anything. I mean, the silliest thing I think was the magic show outfit for me. Like that was,
you
like,
know what that was supposed to be though, don't you?
Well, I remember getting a phone call from you about it. Like you wanted me to be like sleeveless, right? Or something.
Yeah. It wasn't a phone call. I remember I texted, did I text you a phone call? I don't
Maybe
remember.
It was a text.
Cause we were all talking, the writers, we were talking about what we wanted it to be. And the idea was going to be that, like, you know, a lot of magicians, when they have an assistant, it's usually a female and it's usually a lovely woman who's very talented, but just, you know, the male magician gets all the credit, whatever. But the females usually dress pretty, you know,
provocatively or something.
Provocatively. And we wanted to kind of showcase like that, like how ridiculous it is that like the woman always has to be dressed like that. And the guy just kind of stands there and the woman's kind of doing all the work and has to dress provocatively and whatever. And the guy just kind of like waves his hands while the woman's doing all the work for the magician. So we wanted to do a play on that and do it the opposite, where Miranda's the magician and fully, you know, in a suit, whatever. And her magician's assistant, we wanted you like in like just a vest, like a sparkly, glittery vest. And like,
and nothing else?
No. Like maybe a little tiny shorts or something. Like we wanted it to like,
well, yeah, not, do like, but just a vest and nothing underneath
just
it.
Just a vest, nothing underneath it. Because in our minds, the idea was like this scrawny, skinny, lanky, like Patrick in like these, you know, provocative clothes.
Yeah.
Would kind of showcase like, look how ridiculous it is that we do this when it's the other way around. Like, how is this any different? But also like the idea of like this kind of gawky, skinny, like tall guy in this like little, so uncomfortable in this little outfit. We thought there would be some funny stuff to do with that. So we were talking about that and we're like, wait, but we don't know what Eric's body type is at all. So I think it was like a very
mystery.
Awkward conversation between us and you, like, hey, how are your arms look like arms and your legs too. I wanted you in shorts when you were riding the bike. Like we liked the idea of like your legs kind of like scrawny legs pedaling the bike, like a close up of scrawny legs kind of pedaling a bike, but your legs were too muscly and your arms were too muscly. You were too toned.
Then.
So we had to like,
you shouldn't have cast me then.
I was like, why does he have these muscles? So we had to cover you up. But
I was always so comfortable and all that stuff. Like I loved like the shoes. Like they were like old man New Balances.
Which I feel like became cool too. Like I feel like a lot of the Miranda clothes and stuff ended up being kind of cool.
The fanny pack, like I was like, this is functional. Mm-hmm. Always kept like a chapstick in there or whatever. Now and then those were cool, like a year later or something. Mm-hmm. There was like people wearing fanny packs. Love a cardigan.
Yeah.
A lot Huge of cardigan fan.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift.
Yes, see,
again.
You are Taylor Swift.
I got chills. When
oh
I
my
said
gosh.
That. You never made me wear any hats.
Well, then what was your least favorite thing about working with me? I'd love to know.
My least
for
favorite
For your birthday
thing,
episode, I want to know what you didn't like
about working
with me.
With you on Haters.
I'm
going to
make it about me.
I was, well, for me, I really have no negative feelings about the entire experience. I can remember like having imposter syndrome a bit because like I knew I could like act ish, you know, but like I don't know. And I felt like it was like a character reactory part, but like you and Steve and like Angela were like so funny and so good at like improv. And like, I wanted to be like, I want, you know what I mean? It was like, I don't feel like there was a lot of room for it with Patrick, but like, watching you guys have so much fun improvising, especially like the family stuff, like one of those first days where you were all at the table and like how much you were like just breaking, like laughing and ruining takes. Like I was like, I kind of was like, oh, I felt like I wasn't in like that club necessarily.
Oh, you so were.
Yeah. Well, it was an imposter syndrome thing. And
One of the best bloopers is when you, me, and Uncle Jim, uh-huh. Steve, are in the car, in the van.
Yeah, so fun.
And it's from episode 4, I think, of season
was
1.
It, wait, oh, he's saying spell salami. I thought it was going to be bologna.
Oh, but another salami.
Another
yeah, how do you spell salami?
Meat.
I ruined every take.
I ruined a couple. I think in the show, you see me break.
Put your head down, yeah. At one point, yeah.
I love those moments from shows where you can, like, when they have to leave it in, where someone...
It was the only take where it was like...
Breaks.
It was the least noticeable of all the takes.
I think the worst experience I had, which I hate to even bring this up because I'm so like embarrassed about it. But like there was for some reason for both seasons, it was like the last day of shooting was like a heavy Patrick day.
Yes.
Like it just worked out that way where I wouldn't shoot for like 2 weeks and then all of a sudden be like, sorry, we had to put all the Patrick stuff in the same day. And then I'd have to do all these crazy scenes like riding the bike in the float, which was like somehow very physically taxing to then like, and then you're at 4 a.m. getting on that horse, mm-hmm. you know, it was all
in the magic box.
It was like always in the same day. And so like season 2, that happened again, I remember. And then like finally I was done. And then like, oh, also like you have to come back tomorrow to do these like green screen kind of promo shoots with press for like to make like GIFs and things that they were going to use to like help promote the show. And they were like, I had wrapped shooting season 2. It was like all this excitement,
this is
whatever.
Season 2.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, also like you just finished, but you have to come back tomorrow. And I was the last one to go. So it was like all the rest of the cast that had already done theirs and could go. And we were like, you know, free to whatever. It's kind of celebrate, but I was the last to go. And it was kind of just me in front of a green screen. And I remember somebody, you were there and like, and these two people that I'd never really met, but they were on like the Netflix PR team. And they were just kind of like feeding me things to do that just felt kind of, and I just remember being frustrated. And I remember being not necessarily able to hide that frustration in my mind. Like I remember being like, oh, I had like a, not like a diva moment, but like as close as I could get, you know, to having one where like, I just was uncomfortable and I didn't want to be doing it and was like exhausted and thought I, and it's one of those things where I thought I had crossed the finish line and they're like, oh wait, can you come back and do these things? And then it was like, you know, on the sound stage in front of a green screen. And they were like, do make this face, do this dance, do, you know, like do whatever it is. And it was for like additional content that like, they didn't know if they were ever going to use. I don't think they ever used, but it was to like, it was
remember.
To like promote it.
They probably use some of it. I don't remember you having a diva moment though. I don't remember that.
I'm glad you don't. And maybe that was all in my head, but I'm not someone, and maybe that makes me like, okay, I don't know. I can't hide that stuff.
Yeah.
It like reads on my face when that's happening.
Yeah. There's only one time on set, I think I noticed you ever have like a moment where you seemed frustrated.
What was that?
It was when you were, and it was understandable. It was when you were dressed like a knight, you were in like literal armor.
Oh yeah.
Which was like so heavy. It was season 2. And it was the scene where you were quite, I mean, it was like for real armor. It was heavy.
In the restaurant? The Knights of whatever.
Yeah. When Patrick's on the date with Amanda.
Yeah.
And you were both wearing this like crazy armor and it was heavy.
Yeah. I thought that was fun though.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
But we shot it very late at night. It was like 3 a.m. or something. It was very
that
late.
That happened a lot. Yeah.
And you were very uncomfortable because those outfits were very uncomfortable. And I was, there was one line that I wanted different. And I think we asked to redo it a few times. And you didn't do anything rude, but I just remember you, it was obvious that you were frustrated. Like,
I honestly don't know what you're talking about. I don't think I was. But maybe I was.
Oh, it was like, because it was like, oh God, I can't even remember the line now, but there was one line where I was like, no, more like I wasn't giving you a line reading because I didn't want to tell you how to say it, obviously, but I couldn't explain what I wanted. So it was completely my fault because I didn't know how to explain it properly, like what I was looking for. And you were like, I don't know what you're talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe if I saw that scene, I'd be able to remember what you're talking about.
I barely remember, but I don't remember what had happened. I don't remember the conversation, but it was like between my brother and me and you, and you were like frustrated somehow. And I can't remember exactly what had happened. I don't remember what happened, but I remember the feeling in the moment, feeling inside like, oh no, I upset.
If anything, I'm like, sure it was, if you were reading anything, I'm sure it was that I was frustrated with myself, that I wasn't doing it right. Or wasn't, you know what I mean? Wasn't giving you guys what you wanted because I couldn't understand it. So if anything, it was probably just me being frustrated with myself.
Yeah, that's the only time I can remember though. Other than that, I feel like you were always very pleasant and to work with. You worked really hard. You were really good, which is why I think a lot of times the production, we decide to like put all your scenes together in one day because we knew we could get it all done because we didn't need more than one take with you because it was like you would nail it immediately, like every time. And so that was something that we could kind of bank on. Like if we were running out of time to film scenes, we'd be like, well, we know we can do Patrick scenes really fast because he's very good and he'll get it in one take.
Oh, that's so nice.
So that's why that happened. So if you weren't so good, you wouldn't have all those really hard days where it was all the stuff in the same day.
For the opener of season two, I remember there's this like huge dance sequence.
Yes, I got cut.
Why? I can't believe you would like rehearse and shoot for 2 days this huge dance sequence and then be like, oh, I got
it. It happens, man. It's like, I think it's a long, convoluted story, but like we had this crazy plan, like in the script, we wanted the season two to open with some big number. We wanted some big flashy thing to start the season off.
It was like a dream sequence musical number, but it was Broadway.
Yeah. But the problem was that we ended season one with Miranda crying at the computer and she finally got fame, but she lost everything else. So like at what expense? Like her dreams finally came true, but like at what cost, you know? And so she'd pushed everyone away. So that's where we ended, her crying at the computer. And so we're like, we're not going to start season two crying at the computer. Like we should start something fun. And it was a great, when it was pitched in the writer's room, we were all like, how are we going to do this? But you know, we love to try to solve that problem. So how we solved it in the script was, it starts off with this big, huge Broadway number. And it turns out it's not actually this Broadway number. It's just Miranda and Patrick performing in the living room for Bethany's birthday.
Right.
Miranda was dreaming in her mind in that moment that she was on Broadway, but really she was just in the living room. But then that was a dream sequence of Miranda at the computer. So Miranda was at the computer crying, thinking about performing for her mom's birthday. But in the mom's birthday memory, she's remembering being on Broadway. And it was just like too many. It was too far.
You've lost
right,
me
exactly.
Now.
It was like too convoluted. Somehow it made perfect sense in the script. But then once we were in the editing room, we were like, this is a little tricky to follow. It's a little like weird to go from like big Broadway number to now we're in the living room to now she's crying at the computer. Why did that happen? We tried to like edit it in a way where it was like, you know, like,
everything. I was part of it. Like, you know, I had to be there for those days and because I was part of it, like, you know,
that scene
at
where
the end of the dance. And then like when you come out of the dream, it's such a thing that's frustrating. Like as an actress, sometimes these things are so tedious and that it takes so long to do and then end up getting cut.
And another thing too, which I'm just now remembering, another reason why we're like, this isn't working is because the scene at Bethany's birthday wasn't working. And I remember after that day, like that was the first thing we shot for season two. That was the first scene that we shot. And none of us had like worked together for a year. We'd all had just moved back to Canada. And it was the scene that was a little confusing and everyone literally had just gotten there. And so that scene there was something missing from it. It didn't feel like
some
all the
sort
other
of
scenes. Yeah. It was like we were missing. We needed to get back in the groove. We should have had a big rehearsal, like where we like rehearsed it and all got to play and like experience that time together for a day first, because it was our first time back together. And because of that, I feel like some of like the magic and the, we had to get back into the groove and I just feel like we weren't there yet. Yeah. And we all felt like that when we were watching it, we're like, it's good, but like, it's not good enough that we're like, we can't cut this. We're kind of like, what made us go like, we have to cut it is because when it wasn't working, someone brought up like, I mean, should we just cut it and just start with Miranda crying at the computer? And no one was like, no way, we can't cut this huge number. We were all kind of like, that's a thought.
Room?
Yeah. And then when we talked to producers too, everyone kind of across the board was like, huh, we could do that. And the fact that no one was like, no, you have to try to save it.
How much money is that?
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. But I do wish we could have kept a big number. I just,
just thought about that.
Didn't work out. Anyway, happy birthday.
Do you want to talk about yourself anymore?
I did that as a joke, but then it ended up actually happening. I'm sorry.
That's what I wanted for your birthday, is for the attention not to be on me.
I am excited for your birthday, though. I am very excited for your birthday.
Do you have any plans?
You don't have any plans?
No.
Yeah, it's on me. It's my plans.
No pressure.
But I am excited for your birthday. Is there anything you absolutely really, really want to do on your birthday, or anything you absolutely no way do not want to do on your birthday?
No.
Really?
What, like?
Well, like for me, my birthday, I don't want to have to plan like food for people. I don't have to plan like.
Yeah, I don't
want
to have to.
You know, like.
I don't want to have to plan anything.
Yeah, like that.
And because that, I don't know. But it's a Tuesday. You know what I mean?
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Like, my birthday is on a Tuesday this year. It's not on the weekend or anything. So I don't know. What are you going to do on a Tuesday?
You can do lots of things on Tuesdays.
Kindergarten. Two other kids. Come on.
Come on. What are you going to do on a Tuesday?
What's going on Tuesday? Anyway, who's going out on a Tuesday?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should end it here.
Thoughts.
And
yeah.
Thank you for watching, listening. Please leave comments for next week. We love your comments, y'all. Keep them coming. We would love to answer a bunch of questions next week. This week we didn't get to that, but next week we want to. So leave us your.
Do you think we'll ever
thoughts,
work together again
feelings?
In like an acting capacity?
I would love that. That would be so fun in an acting world to work together. I would love that. I had ideas for different things I wanted to write with you in mind, and then I did not do that. But I have ideas of things. I have concepts of a plan.
I will say I've been working on a short film, and you do some voiceover for it. So that kind of counts.
That does not count. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should write a short film together. I don't know. I don't like acting is my least favorite part of the whole process of production. Like the thought of acting as anything other than Miranda is very terrifying.
It
to
has
me.
Its moments, but it's like acting is just like
it's so fun. Like I love doing it as Miranda, but
so
like,
but it's also it's there's so, I don't know. There's
I
so
literally
much.
Cannot imagine acting in anything else.
Huh.
Like except for like on a stage, like a Broadway
okay. I was gonna
kind
say.
Of or musical theater in some capacity. Like that I can do, but to be a real person,
yeah,
acting is that's scary. Anyway. Love
you. Fun. Why are you like talking about that stuff with you?
I do too.
It felt like a very, I forgot we were podcasting for a
I know
a bit.
Me too. It was fun to just kind of like reminisce. It's like the anniversary-ish time of when it premiered. Do you know that? I think
no.
It might've been yesterday or the day before or something like that.
It says on a poster.
Oh wait,
right there.
No, was it October. In October? Wait, we're not in October.
It's no, we're not.
September.
Yeah. It's on a poster right there though. It says October.
I don't know
or
what day. Anyway. Okay.
October 20th.
I was very wrong. It was not a year ago.
Pretty close.
And it wasn't
a year ago.
Yeah, no.
No,
it wasn't a year ago.
No.
No, it was October. Okay, whatever. Okay, we're going to go. See you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.